Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, sitting in for Dr. Dobson today. It doesn't take a political insider to realize that our nation is in turmoil. There is racial unrest. War with North Korea seems imminent. And religious freedoms are being trampled on in the name of political correctness. All of these topics and more will be discussed on today's program. Last month at the AACC World Conference, Dr. Tim Clinton had the opportunity to catch up with Pastor Sammy Rodriguez to discuss the myriad of issues facing our nation. Sammy Rodriguez is the head pastor at New Season Christian Worship Center in Sacramento, California. He is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and part of the Faith Advisory Council to President Trump, which also features Dr. James Dobson as well. Sammy Rodriguez is one of the most prominent Christian voices in the Latino community today, proclaiming Christ. Let's listen now to his conversation with Dr. Tim Clinton here on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
It's great to have our special in-studio guest, Sammy Rodriguez. And Sammy, we've been friends for a while, and it's always a delight to see you. Great to have you in studio with us.
Thank you for having me.
As we get started, Sammy, the nation, I mean, we are absolutely in turmoil. We're in a spin. You have been at the forefront of a lot of the social issues of our day. Give us your take on what do you see happening inside of our nation right now?
Genesis 1:2, and darkness prevailed upon the face of the deep. It really serves as a biblical metaphor for our current reality. And it's on multiple issues. I mean, and you sense it, you feel it, you hear it. If you turn on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, and even Univision, you will see that we're living in darkness. We really are. So we're living in dark days. Things have shifted. We are no longer committed to our Judeo-Christian value system. We are so far away from the very values that have made us, without a doubt, exceptional. We are every single day going further away from truth. This is becoming a relativistic society and culture. It will not surprise me, Dr. Clinton, if any given moment, some will stand up and declare the following. 2 + 2 is no longer 4, it is 5. And if you do not believe it is 5, you are intolerant and bigoted.
Yep.
I mean, we're living in a cuckoo land, really. It's like everyone has been drinking the Kool-Aid, the proverbial Kool-Aid. We're living in Genesis 1:2. To a great degree, I don't fault the world or society. I fault the church. We have become so complacent and so comfortable.
Yeah.
And the lack of the centrality of Christ, we're preaching so many other gospels other than the centrality of Christ and biblical orthodoxy. So we've watered down the gospel for the spiritually impaired. And it's psychobabble to a great degree with the guise of spirituality. And now we have our current reality. So I did mention the fact that we're living in Genesis 1:2, but I'm optimistic. I pray. I believe in God's word. And I believe that if we can pivot, if the church wakes up, we will enter into a Genesis 1:3 moment. Let there be light.
Yeah. Paul wrote Timothy and said, in the last days, things would wax worse and worse.
Yes.
There would be perilous times, and described a lot of what he believed would happen during those times. There's a great angst out there, and I think you're right. I think the church is in a spin. I want to just step back for a moment and, Sammy, talk to you about some of the issues and what's really coming about. Let's start with the great fear that's going on with North Korea for a moment. There are a lot of people who believe that war is inevitable with North Korea. What's your take on that whole situation as you look at nuclear power, political unrest, nation against nation?
There's a statement that I have laid out for a number of years that you've heard me state in multiple settings. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. America was complacent, and not just in the past 8 years, but even prior to that, actually since President Clinton's term till now, our foreign policy as it pertains to North Korea has been one of complacency and acquiescence. This idea that we can somehow have a logical, reasonable conversation and relationship with a dictator who has the audacity to starve his own people is beyond me. So finally, we have a president that has the wherewithal and the fortitude, who is not polished, but really understands this man's a madman. And will we go to war? I do believe that with the rhetorical articulation of our president, on occasion beyond the bounds of what we would deem in the context of diplomatically appropriate, notwithstanding, I believe that the North Korean dictator and his military apparatus are completely aware that, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. That if there's ever an attack on any U.S. territory, be it Guam or Hawaii or the west coast of the U.S., North Korea will cease to exist. And Christians should be praying for God to give our president wisdom. Even those Christians that did not support the election of President Trump, we are compelled by Scripture to pray for our president and those in power. So we should be praying. At the same time, we do have the military apparatus. And if anything would happen, without a doubt, it would
strong
shift
national
everything.
Defense.
It's that strength, of course. It's peace through strength. That Ronald Reagan sort of adage applied on so different many occasions, George Bush the father, George Bush the son. I think we're back to that, strengthening our military and demonstrating that we will fight for our values.
And so what are you saying to Christians about that entire situation? Pray
and support. Support. But support our president, our military. On this issue, he's doing the right thing. Absolutely. This pacifist mentality of tolerating this dictator who is threatening Japan, just launching missiles over a sovereign nation, the nation of Japan. So it behooves us to make sure that we're prayerfully committed, but calling our members that represent us in Congress and stating without any sort of hesitation, we support the president's foreign policy as it pertains to North Korea.
Sam, I want to talk about religious liberty for a moment. It's no secret that there's been a battle, a beatdown of modern-day Christianity for years. The last 10, 20 years have been horrific. The challenges coming against the church, against the people of God, the threats to even believe and practice and live out your faith, and more. What's your take, your prayer in that area?
The quintessential civil rights issue in the 21st century is none other than religious liberty. Religious liberty. Within that, of course,
period.
Within that is our unbridled commitment to the sanctity of life in and out of the womb. But if we don't have religious liberty to preach from the pulpit and declare that that child, the moment it's conceived, is created in the image of God with great purpose from heaven, Psalm 138, verse 8, then we're losing it all. It is the facilitative platform by which we preach the gospel, advance the cause of life, defend God's model for marriage and the family. It's religious liberty. It is the means of transportation, the delivery mechanism of the great message. And we are this far away from losing it. I am grateful for Neil Gorsuch. I am thankful for this Supreme Court justice recently added on to our Supreme Court, appointed and approved, and now serving in the Supreme Court. We need more Neil Gorsuches. But it may be a reprieve, Tim, for a generation. What happens if someone else gets elected 3 years down the road? What happens if the political winds shift once again? Religious liberty may very well be sacrificed on the altar of political expediency.
Yeah.
What you and I believe as it pertains to truth and love, it runs counter to moral relativism, to cultural decadence, to spiritual apathy. It runs counter to a hedonistic, secular, totalitarian mentality and ideology that permeates every vestige of American society. So, yes, we are a threat because we preach truth with love. And we still believe that 2 + 2 = 4. How outrageous.
I love it. You know what? You mentioned Neil Gorsuch and the Supreme Court appointment, how significant that was. And it was a moment in time.
Game changer.
A game changer.
Indeed.
The lower court appointments, too, are significant. I know there's a lot of vacancies right there. 50, 60 of them right now. How significant is that to us as Christians?
Oh, no.
And why is it important?
No, the lower courts, arguably, some would argue, by the way, that the lower courts are actually more important than the Supreme Court. Because the lower court decisions, as you well know, are the ones that end up being appealed or go through the appellate process.
So most of our everyday life is lived out there.
Hey, the 9th District Court? You gotta be kidding me. You think about courts that are right now inundated with individuals that find our Judeo-Christian value system somehow not compatible to their outlook and worldview. So it's a threat. If we fill the lower courts with people that embrace religious liberty, that believe that the values embedded in the Constitution are not fluid, but fixed, Their job is to interpret as it pertains to the application of a law and not to create law. They are not part of a legislative branch, but the judicial branch. They're there to call balls and strikes, right? And that's the reality of it. So the moment we get these lower court appointments through, it may actually add on 5, 10, 15, 20 years to this reprieve. I call it a reprieve because inevitably this thing, this pendulum may very well shift again as it pertains to uber liberal ideology that runs counter to our Judeo-Christian value system.
Absolutely. You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton substituting in for Dr. Dobson. He certainly sends his regard to everyone and delighted that we have in studio our special guest, Sammy Rodriguez, one of America's leading outspoken Christian leaders today. God has raised him up for such a time as this. Sammy, when did God call you to preach? I mean, you preach. And you speak. I know you do.
I was 14 years of age, and I was attending an evangelical church, and my parents were not preachers. I'm a math nerd. I'm a Trekkie. I'm an evangelical Trekkie. I'm a faith and science guy. I doubted many of the things that I read in Scripture that I saw in at church. People, even people coming to the altar. What does that mean? Is that emotional exuberance? And I had an encounter with Christ, a genuine, authentic encounter with Christ that shifted me forevermore. And we began to preach at an early age. And just doors opened way beyond me, you know, no PR, no marketing firm, and the rest is history. I was studying at Penn State University, and I heard a recording, actually not a recording, a radio broadcast from Jack Hayford, and I was in my Camaro Z28, 1978, blue metallic with tinted windows and hydraulic shocks. Pretty amazing.
Loving that. I had a 71 Z28.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
And here I am at Penn State, and I'm about to go into my physics class. And Dr. Jack Hayford was speaking on the radio, and it moved my heart to basically abandon my computer engineering, computer science career and really embrace full-time ministry. And the rest is history.
Called by God. Hey, tell our audience a little bit about the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, an organization that you lead. God's appointed you for such a time as this.
The NHLC is the Hispanic or the Latino Evangelical Association. So it, by the grace of God, it's the largest Latino evangelical network in the world. It has, in America alone, 40,118 certified member churches, and then with thousands of churches around Latin America that are likewise associated. And we are committed to life, the sanctity of life, to advancing religious liberty, to advancing freedom to bring about the Great Commission and preach the good news, the gospel of Christ. So we're committed to reconciling righteousness with justice, sanctification with service, what I call the vertical and horizontal planes of the Christian message. Ideologically speaking, you've heard this before, even at different venues, we're not married to the agenda of the donkey or the elephant, we're about the agenda of the lamb. So we are exclusively married to the agenda of the lamb. And we do believe that we can reconcile Billy Graham's message with Dr. King's march, all in the name of Jesus.
Amen. You know, anytime you talk about spirituality in the nation, you're going to come to the topic of Israel, the nation of Israel. Sammy, your take on the nation of Israel, why Christians need to take seriously what's happening in the Middle East and with the nation of Israel.
From Genesis to Revelation, both vertically and horizontally, and then if you go into the arena of politics, and by politics, I mean governmental authority, geopolitics. So goes Israel, so goes the world. Christians should be the quintessential firewall against anti-Semitism without exception.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. It should be the Christian. The Bible-believing community must stand 100% committed with an unbridled commitment to defend Israel, to protect Israel, the sovereignty of Israel, both the people and the nation of Israel. It's the only democracy surrounded by totalitarian regimes, very hostile totalitarian regimes indeed. So Christians must emerge, and we are to a great degree here in America, in certain sectors, by the way, but not all. White evangelicals are pro-Israel, but not to the great numbers they were even 10 years ago. There's the millennial generation is having a bit of ambiguity as it pertains to the commitment to Israel. And because of sort of the social justice lens that has been ill applied. I believe in biblical justice, not in some sort of socialist social justice. But because of the I want to change the world model, which I'm committed to, there's this idea that we want to serve the underdog. And because of media outlets that continue to exacerbate the idea that certain sectors or even Palestinians are the quintessential underdogs in the struggle. And we want Palestinians, Arabs, all to come to the knowledge of Christ, of course. But again, many millennials are losing the focus on our biblical commitment to defend and protect the sovereignty of the nation and the people of Israel and all Jewish people around the world.
And Scripture so commands us to pray earnestly for the peace of Israel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, of course, many would do it because of the Genesis principle. If you bless those that bless Israel, we bless.
Absolutely.
And
God's chosen people.
And this is a true story. You could do your Google due diligence. There was a guy named Hugo Chavez. Maybe never heard of Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez was the president of Venezuela, the dictator of Venezuela.
Oh, yes.
And Mr. Chavez, on national television, cursed Israel. Sometime later, the man is no longer around. I'm not saying it's cause and effect. What I am saying is this thing about blessing Israel, you are blessed, curse Israel, there are some consequences. So as Christians, we are compelled, we are driven by Scripture to be a blessing to Israel and the Jewish people indeed.
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Wow.
Took the nation, really the world, by storm. It was an absolute, insane, horrific scene in Charlottesville. The aftermath of it and the whole issue of racism exploded. Sammy, you committed to championing diversity, to squelching any thought, hint of racism and more. But talk to us about that incident, even recently with the NFL and the controversy that's taking place inside the NFL and more. Where do you see all this going? What are your thoughts?
Here are my thoughts. First, permit me to digress because it's tangential to your query. NHCLC, Life, Religious Liberty, Racial Unity. It's on our website, it's our motto, it's what we do. Racial unity in the name of Jesus. So we really believe that we can bring people together in the name of Christ. Does racism still exist in America? The answer is yes, and it will always exist because it comes from the fallen nature of man. It is a sin.
Yes.
Racism is a sin. Will there be sexual perversion in America 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries? Yes.
Seven or eight sexual sins in the book of Genesis alone.
It's a sin.
It's the heart of man.
Absolutely. So the idea that we can do away with racism in perpetuity forevermore, it's not going to happen. What we want to do as a society is create firewalls that prevent the proliferation of racism, to do away with every vestige of systemic or institutionalized or personal racism. My objective is to make sure that there's not even one iota of racism in the Church of Jesus. And I mean the church, not the Latino, brown, black, just the church overall. The church must lead. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Tim. A divided church can never heal a broken nation. A divided church will never heal a broken nation. And we fragment the church, even in our nomenclatures and descriptors. The white evangelical church, the African-American church, even the Latino church. We have these descriptors, these hyphens. It's just one church. In the eyes of God, there is no such animal as a white evangelical church or a black church or even a brown church. There's
the
just
church.
One church.
The church.
The church of Jesus. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. So it begins by us coming together and acknowledging that there is racism in America, that we have to address it. But again, media exacerbated hyperbole for the purpose of maintaining strife and discord is what we need to discern. There's a difference between, yes, we should address prison judicial justice reform.
Sure.
And look at sentencing across the board. We want to make sure that Lady Liberty is blind, truly blind, that it's applied across the board. If that kid with that drug infraction is going to get sentenced for a year of a certain color, it should be across the board regardless of the color.
Absolutely.
Right? So we need to do this. And our prisons do not reflect that reality. That's something we must address. And then even about the things that took place with law enforcement. We have the best law enforcement on the planet, indeed. But there are pockets. There are individuals who ruin it by their actions because they're sin. Because it's sin.
We have that in the church.
No, we have that. Absolutely, we have it in the church. So there's sin. But what we want to do is address how can we protect going forward? How can we prevent circumstances and situations where African-American males are somehow stopped by law enforcement just because of the color of their skin. So we want to build a firewall against any vestige of racism and do it with integrity. But at the same time, we must recognize that media and the forces of darkness, not necessarily the same thing, but media and the forces of darkness are having a field day by exacerbating our differences. If we can live in perpetuity under the constant angst of racial division and discord, the enemy wins. And we must, I'm an American, so I'm a Christian first. I'm a born-again, Bible-based, Christ-centered Christian. That's what I am, I'm a Christian. I'm an American, second. I'm an American of Hispanic descent, third. But that's, I'm an American, right?
Right.
I'm an American. So my point is, it's one nation, not many nations, one nation under God, indivisible. Laugh at that right now, because it looks like that's not really working. With liberty and justice for all. If we can live out that motto and that pledge, we would be a better nation. But we have to stop seeing ourselves as Black America, White America, Brown America, Asian America, you know, according to your gender, your creed. My goodness, it's just one nation. We are all Americans that believe in the values of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, that believe that of this crazy idea of God over man and man over government, that we have been given rights, not by each other, but by Almighty God for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Man, if we can change the optic and wake up in the morning with a commitment of bringing unity and stop doing things that exacerbate strife, we can turn this thing around.
God said that he had not left himself without a remnant. People who had not bowed the knee. Those who would rise up. All through Scripture, you see stories of when God's people were in periods of darkness and challenge, that God delivered them in the midst of it. Psalm 46 is one of my favorite passages. When it seems like everything is lost. In times of trouble, Elohim is our refuge and our strength. Yes. God is a present help in time of trouble. Sammy, speak to us as we close out today about the people of God taking their rightful place, the church taking her rightful place for such a time as this. Most people believe that the hope really is in the church. It's in the faith community to change our nation, our world. How about rising up? What's your prayer? What's your prayer for America?
That's my prayer. My prayer is that this will be the hour where we rise up, where we are Matthew 5, where we are the city on a hill, where we shine, where we remove the bow of complacency and shine the light of Christ, of truth, grace, and love. Without a doubt, this is our greatest hour. This could very well be, we have to reconcile our eschatology over missiology. So this thing about, it doesn't matter what we do because Jesus is coming. Yeah, he's coming. But while we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up. It's our time to stand up to him. It really is. We will shine. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. That was for Israel, but as we know through Paul and Galatians, it's applied towards us. We can rise up and shine. This is the hour to shine. And be light, because every single time light stands next to darkness, light always wins.
Sammy Rodriguez, our special guest today, National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, one of God's choice servants. Pray for him. Pray that God continues to just, give him a strong voice, a platform to help lead us all. And may God raise up in our day men and women who stand strong. Thanks for joining us, Sammy.
Thank you.
And what a powerful discussion on the issues facing our nation and what we as Christians need to do about them here on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson today. You've been listening to Dr. Tim Clinton and his conversation with Pastor Sammy Rodriguez, a conversation that took place at the AACC World Conference in September earlier this year. If you'd like to learn more about Pastor Sammy Rodriguez or the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org. As you know, we have aired a lot of programs here at Family Talk since we began our ministry back in 2010, and we have loved hearing how these programs have impacted you and your family. Won't you call our Family Talk listener feedback line today and let us know about your thoughts about these programs, past and present? You can dial toll-free 844-823-2669. All testimonies and comments are greatly appreciated, so call our listener feedback line at 844-823-2669. We are so glad you've been with us today here on Family Talk. Be sure to join us again next time. Starting tomorrow and for the rest of the month of December, we'll be featuring our Best of the Best broadcasts. It's a collection of your favorite and most listened to shows from the entire year. You will not want to miss it. I'm Roger Marsh, wishing you a great rest of your day. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi everyone, Dr. Tim Clinton here. When you think about your family and where they'll be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? You hopeful? What kind of a legacy are you leaving for your children and their children right now? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org. You're going to find helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.